Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series. Today I'm talking to Kevin Bortoli, who is the Portfolio Manager of PM Capital's Asian Opportunities Fund. Kevin, good to talk to you. It's been a while since we've spoken.
Yeah, great to be back.
A lot has happened over the course of the latter part of last year and the early part of this year, but it's really been marked by a resurgence in the markets. How confident are you about the sustainability?
Yeah, it's interesting because what we've seen, particularly in Asia over the last 8 to 9 months, is the Chinese government basically coming in, stepping into their economy and stimulating. We're seeing that on the ground with a lot of the companies that we own. You're starting to see that flow through operationally. When it comes to the sustainability, trying to determine or predict the internal machinations of the Chinese government is always very hard in the short term. But there's two things that we know fairly confidently. One, they want to shift that economy to consumption away from fixed asset investment. And secondly is they need to control capital outflow. So if you look at the first one, what they've done in the last 12 months is go back and start spending on infrastructure. Now, one of the things we didn't realise probably 2 years ago was the importance of infrastructure spending on consumption. It's very, very important. A lot of migrant workers coming from the central provinces to the cities to work, and they were starting to spend more money. So the government understands that to move their economy to consumption, they still have to support fixed asset investment. When you look at the capital outflow, they've actually stabilised that in the last 4 to 5 months. And now that's a big positive because that's one of the one things that China struggles to control, and it has wide-reaching ramifications if they can't. So the fact that that is now under control, we view that very positively. One thing I would say is that the bulls and the bears are sitting in their opposite corners at the moment, and they both have fairly strong arguments. So I think you're going to have a lot of volatility, remaining in the markets, for the next little while.
Okay, so there's been a lot of discussion about the stimulus that Chinese authorities have been putting into the economy and whether or not the momentum is going to be maintained. What are your thoughts on this?
I think what we saw in the middle of last year, you saw fixed asset investment in China year over year continuing to decline. And the declines were driven by private investment mainly. And you get to around May, June of last year, and you see a big uptick in the spending from the Chinese government. I don't think that level of expenditure is sustainable, but I think we're going to continue to see them come into the market and into the economy if things look depressed. Importantly, what we've started to see in the last couple of months is private investment ticking up. You've started to see PMI, PPI all starting to improve. So it suggests that outside of SOEs and the government, you're starting to see a little bit of recovery in spending. We're seeing that with our Macau holdings, very strong over the last 9 months. Macau's always been a proxy for the environment in China. Everyone was quite comfortable with what was happening on the mass market side. Mass market's been strong. But what has surprised positively over the last 2 to 3, 4 months this year has been a return of the VIP. And the VIP is very much driven by better conditions for commodity prices, property prices in China. So those things suggest that the environment is getting better, which is a positive for the region as a whole.
Indeed. And to that end, what are the other opportunities or areas that you like as far as the broader Asian region is concerned? Yeah.
So we're very much focused on not necessarily picking the top-down macro, but looking for the structural stories within industries and individual stocks. If you look at our portfolio today, we've got three primary investment thematics in the fund. We've got e-commerce, internet. So we've got some of the classified businesses, job classifieds, automotive classifieds, across the region. They've been a part of the portfolio for quite a while now. So it's a story that I've told quite a bit. We've got gaming. As I said, gaming's been quite strong. The core part of that portfolio for us has been Macau, Wynn Macau, MGM, China. We've started to lighten that off in the last month or so, given the strong performances. And probably the most interesting one for us has been the growth of the financials exposure in the portfolio. If you look back to the end of 2015, we basically had zero financials. Over the last 12 to 12 to 15 months. We've increased that and it's now sitting in about 17 to 18%. So that financials exposure is very much linked to the global, you know, reflation story, whereby banks that have the best links to rising rates in the US. So we've got Singaporean banks, we've got Korean banks, I've got HSBC, a big global bank that's very much leveraged to, you know, rising global rates.
And we were talking just a moment ago off camera about your exposure to the employment part of the Chinese economy, and you're encouraged by what you're seeing on the ground there.
Yeah, correct. We've owned both 51 Jobs and Zaopin. They're the two primary employment recruitment businesses online, very much like Seek here in Australia. And their numbers progressively over the last year have improved. In the first quarter, both operators were seeing, you know, double-digit growth in new customers, you know, basically looking to hire staff. So that is positive. And we're also seeing growth in the actual pricing, which is also good. So people are upscaling their packages. Things that we think suggest that people are coming back into the market, getting more optimistic, which bodes well generally, I think, for the wider economy.
Okay, let's talk about the currencies briefly, because obviously that's important to you as an international investor. A lot of volatility in the currency markets, a lot of conversation about what is happening with the timetable for US rates, the Fed unwinding its balance sheets,
Yep.
That's obviously an important consideration for you.
Yeah, as investors, you know, obviously we have two considerations, the stocks we buy and whether or not we keep that currency exposure. So you know, if I look at how the portfolio is positioned today, we're basically long US and Hong Kong and short Aussie dollar. We think that the run that the Aussie dollar has had in the last couple of months has very much been driven by that return to optimism around what's happening in China. But we think in the short term, commodities have probably peaked. You've seen the iron ore price start to come back. And more importantly, I think, is that the rates differential. We think the US will obviously move before Australia, and that gap in terms of the interest rate differentials will continue to close. I think what we've seen in the last couple of months in the US and with the US dollar is basically people starting to, you know, think about a realistic timeline for policies in the US. When Trump was elected, obviously there was so much information that it took a lot of people time to digest. We're starting to see people digest that. We spoke before about the Obamacare reform, you know, that not getting up, and obviously that pushing out the timetable. So I think people are now much more realistic, and we're still generally very positive about what's happening in the US.
And so to that end, whilst there has been an extraordinary amount of focus on the US, it's still very important to maintain a focus on what's going on in Asia and China.
Correct. It's very important for us here in Australia because we're so tied to that economy. But generally for investors, I think if you look out 6 months, who knows? If you're trying to predict that, it's almost impossible. But if you're looking at 5, 10, 15 years, I think people want to be spending more of their time focusing on the Asia region. It's very much the epicenter of growth. If you actually look at 2014, 2015, Asia accounted for about 40% of global GDP. Over the next 10 years, yeah, that's growing to 50% of global GDP. The problem investors have is if you actually look at the wider, you know, benchmarks and indexes that people might invest in, they're heavily overweight the US. So the MSCI World Index is, I think, 55% weighted to the US. Then the second largest weighting is Europe. So you're not getting your bang for your buck when it comes to Asia. So by the time Asia is a big part of those indexes, it'll be too late. So we think people need to start thinking about how they, you know, better access and allocate, you know, that opportunity, particularly in a market like Australia that's getting more narrow and more narrow.
Kevin, it's always good talking to you to get your insights about what's going on in Asia. Thanks
good
for your time
here.
Today.
Thanks.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.